couldn't get home till 5:30. Matthew chapter 26, verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear. And I hadn't quit since either, buddy. I've seen a lot of Christians do a lot of cussing and swearing.
Amen.
I didn't say that, but I do it. Amen. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You ought to put that bad talk away.
Amen.
Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Give us grace and wisdom to preach. Lord, I pray that we might say something that would encourage God's people to do something for God. We ask it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Brother Lewis that you'd touch his body and heal him. Lord, give him his strength back. Lord, that he might do his job, minister to his family, minister for thee. We thank him, praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in verse 74, I really don't want to preach on, I'm not going to preach on the verse. I just want to take a thought out of the verse about that chicken down there. You know, Peter denies the Lord, and the Lord had told him earlier, he said, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. He said, before that chicken gets up and wakes everybody up, you'll deny me and tell folks you don't know me three times. And he did. And of course, just as he said it the third time, that old chicken stepped up on the fence, did his head, and let her go. We tried to. It's chicken side. And we'll eliminate chicken. On Peter, and Baptists have hated him ever since. Amen. But the chicken's world famous. But he's not held in high esteem. Matter of fact, if you know somebody, they don't live up to your expectations, or if they're fearful, or if they run in combat, or they don't stand for truth, you say he's chicken. You know, doesn't have any courage, doesn't have any guts, he's chicken. Wants to be called chicken. It's like being called Judas. Who in the world would name your kid Judas? Everybody in the world equates Judas with betrayal. Would you name your child Benedict Arnold? You know, because you know he's a turncoat. I did know a kid one time named Pharaoh. A little boy up in Virginia Beach, and his mom and daddy named him Pharaoh. And he must have been 8, 9 years old, and he already had one leg amputated. And sent him home and said he was doing good, and he'd been home 2 or 3 weeks. Got feeling bad and took him back, and his cancer had come back. It was in his lungs, and he would just eat up. Little fella didn't live but about another 6 months. Mom and daddy, you couldn't talk to him about God at all, but I always wondered why in the world them folks named that kid Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a type of the devil, you know. So anyway, there's some names you can be called, and chicken is one of them. But I got to look into this chicken, and he's not such a bad character. I want to give you 6 or 7 things about this chicken that are kind of commendable. Matter of fact, this chicken might be a better servant of Jesus Christ than a lot of Baptists. And so I want to talk to you about this chicken and see if we can't find some parallels or some similitudes between this chicken and what a Christian ought to be. Amen. I know nobody got high regard for a chicken, but if you look at what this one did, he actually did a pretty good job. And it's kind of hard if you look at the scripture to think too bad about him. Fella does what he's supposed to do when he's supposed to do it. I mean, what more out of him, amen? Now, I know a lot of independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptists that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. This chicken beats them at that. I mean, because this chicken did do what he was supposed to do. And so let me give you about, oh, seven things about this chicken, and we'll go home early tonight. Amen. Number one, this chicken did what he could. Now, the only thing the chicken knew how to do was crow. All he knew how to do was open his mouth and give out them big old cock-a-doodle-doos. He wasn't talented. He wasn't brilliant. He wasn't a great orator. He wasn't a great singer. Nobody ever accused a chicken of being melodious. The two most annoying sounds on the planet is a chicken and a cat. A chicken, all it says is bark, 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 bark. It's just over, and that's all it says. And a cat goes meow, 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 meow. I think, say something else. You're getting on my nerves. Both them, cats and chickens, just get on your nerves. He's got a one-word vocabulary. All he knows how to do is crow. But you know something? He did what he could do. Now, I know a lot of Baptists got all kind of talents. They can sing, they can play, they can read and write, they could pass out gospel tracts, they could be a witness, they could be faithful to church, they could tithe, they can do all kind of things, but you know what they're doing? They're not doing nothing. They're worse off than the chicken. The chicken at least did what he could do. Amen. It's like the woman over there that came to the Lord, you know, and the disciples got mad at her, and he said, leave them alone. She hath done what she could. Now, I had a friend, Rex Harrison, used to preach a sermon on that text, and his first point was, she didn't do what she couldn't do, which is what most Baptists want to do. The ones that are sitting there that can't sing a lick and can't play a note, you know what? They all want God to call them to sing. Or they say, I would do something for God if I could play an instrument. Or I would do something for God if I could do this. But it's always the thing they can't do that they want to do. They're never happy doing what they can do. Now, the chicken wasn't that stupid. The chicken said, all I know how to do is crow. God said, that'll work. Crow. I got a man that needs to hear you go off. And so the chicken said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, if you want me to crow, I'll crow. And he did. Amen. And what we need is a bunch of Baptists that'll learn to do what they can do. Amen. Amen. Now you take Brother Tommy Stewart. I've been trying to figure out for years what he could do. And I'm no closer now to a solution than I was when I started. Actually, that's not true. Brother Tommy's a very talented fella. Amen. His wife says. A couple months ago, I said, Brother Tommy, I'm sick and tired of that sound booth being on the other side of that wall, because if you get in that sound booth when it's on the other side of the wall and set the sound equipment up and then come out here, it's a totally different sound. I mean, it just really is whacked out. I said, I'd like to put that thing in the sanctuary. And I said, besides that, the ladies need some more storage room. That's all I said about it. Next thing I know, I come down here. He's got walls ripped out and stuff all over the place and sawdust everywhere. And before I know it, man, we got a sound booth in here, and in that closet, and there's shelves and stuff all in there. Now, you know what? Tommy can do carpentry work. I don't know if he can preach a lick. I have heard him sing. God knows, let's keep him swinging that hammer and that saw. The world don't need to hear him sing. Amen? But you see, he did what he can do. And I guarantee you there's something you can do and 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 something you can do. And I'm trying to find something for me to do. Amen. But we got churches full of folks, and the same problem in our church. About, they say 2% of the people in any company, 2% of the people in government, 2% of the people in any church do everything. That's because everybody else is sitting around saying, well, if I could do that, I would. And they're always talking about something they don't know how to do or don't have the ability to do or the skill to do. They never want to do what God equipped them to do. Amen? I remember over at Blessed Hope, there was a gentleman over there, his name was Prine. He was an elderly fella. I talked to Mr. Prine, and he was just a good, godly man, faithful as the day is long. He was old, and there's a lot of things he couldn't do anymore. And I don't exactly think Mr. Prime was a rocket scientist. If you ever talked to him, he just didn't come across that way. But you know what that old guy did? He hung around out there all the time. The grass was always cut. The church was always clean. Trash cans needed emptying. He'd do it. He never asked anybody. He just did it. And I watched him. He was faithful week after week, month after month, year after year. For years, they didn't have to worry about a thing. He never asked anybody. He just saw something needed doing around there. He'd just go do it. You know what he was doing? He was doing what he could. He wasn't trying to do what somebody else could do. And he wasn't trying to do what he couldn't do. He did just like that chicken. The chicken did what the chicken could do. And if we're faithful to God, we do what we can do. Amen. Now the problem is, a lot of times what we can do is not glamorous, doesn't catch a lot of attention, doesn't get a lot of pat on the backs. Listen, whether I notice it or not, whether I say anything about it or not, whether anybody else notices it or not, the Bible said if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward. That is, absolutely nothing that you do for God goes unnoticed. And here's some fella that he's a great evangelist, and he preaches great meetings. And here you are, you clean the church or whatever it is. If he's capable of that, and this is all you're, if you're doing the maximum you can do, and he's doing the maximum, you know what? You both get the same reward. Because God is no respecter of persons. If you're doing all that God enabled you to do, that's all God expects out of you. But now, on the other hand, if you could do something like crow and you don't, then God is upset with you. And brother, I'm here to tell you that in Baptist churches, most folks are sitting around and could do a lot of stuff and help out a lot. A lot of folks could do a lot of things they're not doing, and it's causing the church not to get done what the church does. You got to remember, this chicken did what he could. Number two. This chicken, his job was not considered important by the world. Crowing, going cock-a-doodle-doo, is a very common thing. Every chicken in the world knows how to do it. No special skills, no special training, no practice required, no courses to pass, no certificates of completion. They just born knowing how to do it. It's just as ordinary, just as commonplace as anything can possibly be. Matter of fact, crowing for a chicken is so common and so ordinary that most of the time it goes unnoticed. When's the last time you heard a chicken let her go? Well, you say, well, I live in the city. Well, you know, a lot of us live out in the country or the edge of the town, this, that, and the other. And there's chickens all over. The black folks that live down behind us got chickens. Now, I almost never hear them because I'm sleeping in as late as I can, and then I rush out the door as fast as I can. But on Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings, I hear them chickens down there. But I don't pay any attention. It doesn't register most of the time. If somebody said, what was that noise? I said, it's a chicken. And I wouldn't even think about it. It's a chicken crowing is just no big deal to most of us, right? Yet, he's the alarm clock. That's what he's supposed to do. And when he does it, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Now, you know what the problem is with the most stuff that most folks can do? We can only have one pastor of the church. Only one guy gets to preach in the pulpit Sunday morning and Sunday night, and that's me. My job is not up for grabs, by the way. I'm not resigning, and I'm not going anywhere, and unless I get killed, I'm here to aggravate you till Jesus comes. Amen? But there's a lot of other stuff, little incidental stuff. But it's like crowing. It's not high profile. It's just ordinary stuff. It's common, everyday stuff. But the honest truth is, if it doesn't get done, the place gets run down, things don't work right, things get worn out, things need to be replaced. Visitors come and they say, oh, that place is run down looking, it's shoddy looking, it's got that dilapidated look, and they won't come back. There's just all kinds of things that need to be done. Track racks got to be filled up, tracks got to be ordered, tracks got to be stamped, floors got to be clean, bathrooms got to be clean, grass got to be cut, any number of things. And then there's passing out tracks on the street. There's all kind of little ministries. Old folks' homes, jails, and prisons. There's no excuse for any of God's children not to be doing something for Jesus Christ. If you just come into church and warm in the pew, thank God you come, and we want you to come, but the honest truth is you need to get off your lazy butt and do something for Jesus Christ. Amen. And you say, well, I just can't think of nothing. Sure you can. You just ain't thought of nothing that you wanted to do, or that was glamorous enough for you to do, or special enough for you to do. Well, all that other stuff needs doing. Amen? Now, that chicken, what he did was not considered important. It was considered common. It goes unnoticed. It was considered foolish. Just no big deal. I mean, what's the big deal about a chicken and crowing? That's his talent. That's his ability. That's what he's supposed to do. When that old sun comes up, it's time for the world to wake up. And that old chicken gets up on the tree stump or the top of the barn or wherever it is and throws his head back and starts to crow. He starts to do them cock-a-doodle-doo. And it's to wake the farmer up so the farmer can get up and milk cows. Slop the hogs, and by then, Mama's got the eggs cooked and the bacon's on, and he sits down and eats his cathead biscuits and bacon and eggs so they can go out and work in the field. And none of that would have got done if the chicken hadn't woke them all up. Now, while it looked mundane and ordinary and unnecessary, it really was the key to getting the day started. Amen? And a lot of stuff that people can do is like that. It doesn't look important, but if it didn't get done, believe me, everybody notices. Amen. Number three. I like this. The old chicken was a talker. He'd get up every morning and open his mouth and let her go. Now, the chicken was not ashamed to crow. You say, well, that's such a stupid talent and such an unnecessary thing. I'd be embarrassed. The chicken wasn't. Old chicken just got up on the fence post, throwed his head back, and he thought the whole world wanted to hear him crow. He thought everybody loved the music he was making. He was so ignorant and so blind in his own stupidity, he just thought he was doing perfectly what he was designed to do. And he thought, man, if I'm supposed to do this, somebody must like it. Amen. And so he just got up every day. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't embarrassed. He walked around like he had good sense, you know, just strutting him and said, boy, I done a job this morning, didn't I? Did you hear that? Man, did you hear me hold that cock-a-doodle-doo? He just tickled it. He practiced his crowing. He was good at it. He could do it in 4-4 time and 3-2 time and 4-2 time or whatever it is. He's doing what he was designed to do, and he wasn't ashamed of it. Now, you know what the Bible said? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what the Bible said? That Bible said, and they that believe shall not be ashamed. But you know what Christians don't want to do? They don't want to crow for Jesus. They don't want to talk about the Lord. They say, well, religion's all right, you know. Meaning what? Well, in its place. Well, where's that? Well, down at the church house. And the only Christianity some folks got is when they're at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. And then they're religious, and they talk religious. Oh, can they sound pious? You'd think some of them was looking for a vacancy in the Trinity. Well, ain't nobody in the Godhead did. Amen? But when they get outside the wall, where everybody doesn't believe just like we do, and act just like we do, and talk just like we, you know what them chickens do? They quit crowing. You couldn't pay some of them to open their mouth and utter the name of Jesus Christ in public in front of the people they work with. They would rather have no testimony or a bad testimony than to embarrass themselves and crow for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Everybody where you work ought to know you're a Christian.
Amen.
And they ought to know that you're a weird Christian.
Amen.
Peculiar. Amen. The Bible said that we're a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. The world ought to think you're a little strange, a little weird. I mean, anybody goes to church three times a week. Well, how much religion do you need? Actually, more than three times a week. If you could see my mindset when I get aggravated with some of humanity out there, you'd think I need it daily or hourly on occasion.
Amen.
Amen. But Christians don't want to crow. We have Christians that live in neighborhoods, and the folks on that side and the folks on that side and the ones back here and the ones across the street don't know you're a Christian. You've never been over and introduced yourself, and go over and say, my name is Dr. Bob Hensley, and I'm Pastor King James Baptist Church. I'm saved by God's grace, and we'd like to invite you to our church. Do you folks attend anywhere?
I don't always want
that. Well, go to hell then. Dr. Howells used to tell a story. He had a fella in his church that was just about a half a bubble off. And the guy walked up to this multimillionaire one night and said, "You want to get saved and go to heaven?" And the guy said, "No." He said, "Okay, go to hell then." Well, he went on his way. But what that guy said stuck in that old boy's head. About 3 o'clock in the morning, man, he's walking the floors. So he called Dr. Howells up, and he said, "Dr. Howells," he said, "I'm very upset." And Dr. Howells said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, one of your church members insulted me. He was just plain rude this evening." And Dr. Howells said, "Well, who was it and what did he do?" And he said, "Well, it was that little guy, you know, he's about a half a bubble off there and got the mustard on that red tie and wearing that green suit." Dr. Howells said, "Oh, I know who you're talking about." He said, "He walked up to me and asked me if I wanted to get saved and go to heaven, and I told him no, and he just told me to go to hell then." Dr. Howells said, "Well, what are you going to do?" The old boy got saved, amen. So why? Because that moron crowed for Jesus Christ. And if more of us were talking about God and about the Bible and about the things of God, if we would swallow our pride, you know what it is, don't you? Get down there on the job site and you want to be cool. You don't want anybody to think you're a religious nut, a Jesus freak, Bible thumper, holy roller, goody-goody two-shoes, you know. You want to be cool. You want to be accepted. You want everybody to think you're one of the guys. So you just keep your mouth shut. No matter what they're talking about, and no matter what kind of language you're using, you just don't say nothing. Now, you might not cuss and carry on just like they do, but you approve of it because you didn't condemn it. You're either with me or against me. You gather with me, you scatter abroad. There's no in between. Amen. So now what do the folks down there think about you? They think you're a crow for Jesus Christ. They think you're one of God's chickens. You're running around crowing, cock-a-doodle-dooing all over the place, talking about Jesus all the time. Little boy went to Sunday school, and he come home, and his mama said, "How's Sunday school?" He said, "Oh, it was good." He said, "Is Mr. Fred God's son?" She said, "No." She said, "Why would you ask that?" He said, "He sure does brag on him all the time." Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. David said, "I have believed, therefore I have spoken." Paul said, "We also have believed, and therefore do speak." You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to speak boldly. You know what's happening? We got a bunch of Christians that are chicken. They don't crow. They don't cock-a-doodle-doo. They don't talk about Jesus Christ. The only place they got into religion is right here at the church house.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you something else about this little chicken. He's a pretty good feller. You know, I got to looking at him. I kind of learned to like this chicken. I think his name was Bob. Perhaps it was Dr. Bob. I'll tell you what this chicken was. This chicken was faithful. He was faithful. Every morning, the chicken got up, and I do not know whose alarm clock he used. He was the alarm clock for the whole countryside. And I don't know who wakes the chicken up. Maybe God put an internal time clock in it. I don't know. But when the sun comes up, you know what that chicken did? Every day, he got up and he crowed. Now, if it was raining, he got up. If it was snowing, he got up. If it was hot, he got up. If it was cold, he got up. When he didn't feel good, he got up. Whether he wanted to or not, he got up every day, 7 days a week. As long as that old chicken lives, he gets up every morning and crows. You know what that chicken was? That chicken was faithful to his duties. He was faithful to his responsibilities. You know, we got Christians, and they're not like that chicken. They come to church on Sunday morning if there ain't nothing better to do, or if they don't have something else planned. They come back on Sunday night if they come to church on Sunday morning and go to Sunday dinner, and then they go off to Charlotte or someplace all afternoon, and they don't get back in time, and this, that, and the other, and so they don't, you know what, they're unfaithful. They're unfaithful. I've been married for 145 years. Be 44 years, July the 22nd. Same woman. If you think I don't know something about hell, buddy. What was I talking about before I tickled myself? Do what? Now, been married to the same woman 44 years. I come home every day. Every day. I bring my check home every Friday. I'm broke every Saturday. I'm faithful. Amen? When you have an obligation or a duty or a responsibility, you're supposed to fulfill it. Now, Dr. Ruckman used to say, duties never conflict. If it is your duty to do a thing, then there is a way for you to do it. Now, wants sometimes conflict, likes conflict, dislikes conflict, but if it's your duty, it doesn't conflict. If it is your duty to be on church on Sunday morning, then you ought to be there. Amen? And anything that gets in the way of your duty, then you need to rearrange it. Amen? I have a duty to take care of my wife. I don't let anything get in the way of that. I have a duty to my employer. I am a good employee. I go in early, I stay late, and I work while I'm there. I don't have to turn around and back up like this to get my paycheck. I give the fellow what he paid for. You pay me $2, that's all you get. Amen? Say, why? It's my duty. I made a promise to her. I made an obligation to him, a commitment to him. I'm going to keep them. I'm saved by God's grace. I'm a child of the King. Amen? And that Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Obey them that have the rule over you in the faith. Church is set up for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if you're faithful to your duties and your obligation, guess where you'll be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Now that chicken did what he did faithfully. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said it is required, not optional, not up for debate, not negotiable. He said it is required among men that a steward be found. I didn't say a steward. A steward be found faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. Amen? So the chicken did what he could. He wasn't ashamed. And he was faithful. Not only that, the chicken's job was not popular. Chicken gets up and he makes so much noise he wakes everybody up. Everybody wants to stick the shotgun out the window and shoot the chicken's head off. He's annoying. He's a pest. Everybody wishes he would just shut up and let us go back to sleep. But the chicken's job was to make sure you didn't sleep. His method was to open his mouth and make a loud noise. You got it? You know what a Christian's supposed to do? That Bible said, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their sin. You know what every Christian's supposed to do? You're supposed to be loud. You're supposed to be annoying. You're supposed to tell people about their sin. I know they say you're judgmental and this, that. We don't care what they say. They're not our master. Jesus Christ is our master. We do what he said. Amen. And he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. They don't want to hear it. Our job is not popular. My wife tried to witness to a girl at the grocery store the other day. The girl didn't want her track, didn't want to hear about it, and finally she just got around and said, well, I've had a bad experience at church, and I just don't want to go. My wife said, well, will you take the gospel track? No. Now, she's crowing, and the world is condemning. They don't like it. But we can't quit. He said, well, preacher, I tried to talk to somebody, and they just get mad and cuss me out. Okay, that's part of it. Take it. Deal with it. Act like a big boy. Amen. They don't like it? Too bad. So sad. You going to quit because the world doesn't like it, or are you going to do it because God said to? Amen. You're supposed to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be like that chicken. You're supposed to do what you can, and what you can do is talk. You can crow. I know. People say, preacher, I'm just too intimidated. I can't talk in front of people. I just get so frustrated. Yeah. Let's take you down to the PTA meeting and let them try and railroad your kid or put a program in you don't like or take one out that your kids are involved in, and let's see how much noise you can make in front of a crowd then. I bet there's not a mama or daddy here that can't get just downright rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. Amen? Oh, you forgot you were in a crowd. You got so excited you forgot to stutter. Amen? You know what? We do what we want to do. Amen? And it's not comfortable for us to witness for Jesus Christ and to talk to other folk. And so we said, well, you know, I'm just a little bashful. I'm a preacher, you know, I just don't know any scripture. Now, you know that ain't going to fly, don't you? I can write you 6 verses out on little cards that you can hold in the palm of your hand and number them 1 through 6, and you can sit there and read them. I can mark 6 verses in your Bible, and you can thumb through there and just go from 1 to 2 to 3. Beside 1, I'll write where number 2 is at. Beside number 2, I'll write where number 3 is at. And you just go Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:12, Romans 10:9 through 17. And you got the whole plan of salvation. You don't have to know a single verse. All you got to do is have a little New Testament with some little numbers written in the side of it. And you got the whole Romans road of plan of salvation in there. Amen? Now why are you not going to crow? Amen? I'll tell you why. Because it's not popular. People don't like it. And so Christians, being chicken, don't crow. Now I'm glad the chicken didn't quit crowing just because it got boring and monotonous and because people didn't like it. Ladies and gentlemen, our commission is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and it is not based on whether they want to hear it or not. The Bible said that thy word will do that which it was sent to do. Now, the word of God always does 2 of 3 things. It convicts and converts, or it convicts and it condemns. It will do 2 of those 3 things. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you and I will stand up and crow and talk about Jesus Christ and quote Bible, it will bring conviction on the sinner, and then the sinner will either get converted or he gets condemned. But that's not going to happen as long as we're chicken. Amen. Chicken was not popular. Number six. I love this part. The chicken never got discouraged. I've known a lot of men in the ministry, not a lot of Christians over the last 34 years. And every time I go to a preacher's fellowship, you'll hear one or two sitting around talking, and they're just ready to quit. Oh, their people ain't treating them good. They're not paying them enough. They don't get enough vacation. And good night, the church don't even want to pay for their telephone bill and all this, that. You know, I mean, they're just whining and whining. And when I hear, I just get up and I leave. I just don't like that nonsense. But they're always just ready to quit. I've heard preachers get up and say, you know, I'm just about ready to quit every Monday morning. They just get discouraged. Not many folks getting saved these days, and church folks ain't living right, and if you preach anything, everybody gets mad. And it's just a discouraging time to be in the ministry. That guy's only job is to stand up and crow. He's supposed to stand up and make a loud noise for Jesus Christ. And it makes some people happy, and it'll make some people mad. And which one and how many is not his responsibility. Amen. You know what my job is? My job is to get in the pulpit and preach the Word of God with as much power as I can get. And if you like it, fine. If you don't like it, fine. I really don't care one way or the other if God likes it. Amen. But you know what? Christians get discouraged. They say, well, you know, I've been going to church down there for 39 years now. And I've heard every old story preacher Henry's got, and I've heard all of his jokes, and I know everything he's going to say. And when he starts a message, I can turn to the verses. And ain't nothing happening. Well, it's probably your fault. I want something to happen. I'm praying for something. I'm working for something to happen. Amen. Why I'm preaching this message, to get something to happen. I can't make it happen all by myself. Brother Lewis can't make it happen all by himself. I need some of y'all to help me out a little bit. Amen? But you just get discouraged. Well, fight the discouragement. We live in a day and age where everything is a sickness or a syndrome or something. What was that new one we was talking about last? Road rage is now a syndrome. It's a disease, according to the American Psychiatric Institute. Road rage. No, that's just some redneck bozo hillbilly that can't control his temper. And he can't control his temper because ain't nobody ever slapped his teeth out about 10 times in 1 week. It's amazing how much temper and tantrums kids quit throwing if you spank their butt instead of time-outing them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The problem in America these days is ain't nobody getting punished for nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, folks get discouraged. This chicken didn't get discouraged. He had one little talent. He had one little ability. And he was so dumb he didn't know that he didn't know anything. I love them kind of people, you know. You ever talk to somebody, you know, and they walk off and each of you look at each other because you know this guy is not quite with the rest of the crowd. But he don't know it. You ever been around some of the dumbest people you ever met in your life, and they think they're right up there with Einstein and everybody else? It's because they don't know they don't know. That's a wonderful thing. It would be depressing to be that dumb and know it. So God's fixed it when you're that dumb you don't know it. The chicken didn't know that he only had one talent. He didn't know that he only had one skill. It never dawned on him he was doing the same old thing day after day after day after day. He just thought that's the way the world was, and that's what a chicken was supposed to do, and he just done it. God, what I wouldn't give for some chickens. Folks that just come to church, pass out tracts, and witness to folks, and live right, and give their money. I love, just give me a church full like that.
Amen.
Amen. And just be happy as a bug in a rug. So what are you happy about? Oh, I'm just a Christian. I'm saved by God's grace. I'm on my way to the city. Well, ain't you looking for nothing else? Well, I didn't know there was nothing else. I thought that was wonderful. just excited about being saved.
Yeah.
I love to hear the old, old story. What a blessing that is. The chicken never discouraged. And last but not least, let me say this about that chicken. I told you we'd go home early. I got a couple other points on chickens, but y'all really don't want to hear them. Let me say this about the chicken. He did his job well. You say, well, it wasn't much of a job. That doesn't make any difference. That was his job. Amen. And he did his job well. Nobody said your job had to be tough or hard. Nobody said you had to be a rocket scientist to be approved of. It's just God gives every one of us a job. He puts us in a place. He gives us an ability, a skill, a talent, or whatever it is, and he expects us to do it well. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. If you're going to serve God, don't be lazy. Don't be apathetic. If you're going to serve God, do it heartily. Do it with all your energy and all your power and all your might. So why? Because you're doing it for God. And God don't like half-heartedness. I swore I had a... I knew I did. There. No, excuse me. I hate a runny nose. Now, the chicken... You couldn't get a more simple job. Required no training and almost no ability. Now, he did have to know how to crow. That's the only thing that was required. He had to have that ability. But he had it. And so he did it. He did it well. Now, I don't know about you. When I go to work in the morning, that guy's going to pay me to do a job. And while I'm on the clock, while I'm taking his money, ain't nobody in Rock Hill, South Carolina going to do their job better than I do. I'm not going to cheat him. I'm not going to steal from him. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to take more time off than I should. When I go to work in the morning, when I get there, I go to work. I don't wait till 8 o'clock. I normally, most days, work right through lunch. I almost never take more than 10 minutes. Nobody has ever come in and told me I need to get off my lazy backside and go to work. Nobody has ever come in and said, that's been laying there for 2 or 3 days. We need to get on that. Ain't going to happen. I guarantee you, hire your private detective. Let him come follow me around. I guarantee you, I put in as long a day and a hard a day. I do everything I'm supposed to and then some. So why? I'm taking that guy's money, that's why. And I told him I would. And I'm going to set an example. And nobody over there where I work ever going to come up and say, Bob Hensley was lazy or a shirker or didn't do his job or was dishonest. That ain't ever, ever going to happen. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my job and I'm going to do it well. That God called me to preach. And I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability. You say, well, preacher, you ain't too good a preacher. I understand that. But I'll tell you this. I'm giving the best I've got. If I'm sick, if I'm tired, whether I feel like it or not, when I've got personal problems, when I've got family problems, whatever it is, I try to make no difference. I want to pray and study and preach just as hard then as I do when I am on top of the world. I want to do it well. Amen?
Amen.
If you're saved by God's grace, you are to do your job well.
Amen.
If God's called you to be a giver, then you are to give generously. God's called you to be a laborer, you are to labor. If God calls you to be a whatever it is, you are to be the best you can be. If God lets you learn to play a piano, you be the best piano player. Don't come in here and half do it. Practice. Give it the best you got. You're going to be a soul winner? Be the best soul winner you know how to be. Take courses, read books, read the pamphlet, practice, work at it. Be the best you can. The chicken did his job well. I must confess to you, ladies and gentlemen, I've kind of learned to like this chicken. He wasn't such a bad fella. He did what he could, even though his job wasn't considered important. He wasn't ashamed of who he was or what he was doing. He was faithful, even though his job was not popular. He never got discouraged, never got down in the mouth, and he did his job well, day in and day out and day in and day. I like that commitment thing. Amen. I think if you go down and sign a contract for 60 months to pay for a new Lincoln Continental, then bless God, 60 months in a row, there ought to be a check in the mail to the bank the first of every month. Amen. You go down and sign a 30-year note on a $10,000 house. I know they're going to charge you $125,000 for it, but it's only about 10 grand. Then for 30 years, there ought to be a check in the mail to that mortgage company every month, as faithful and as regular as clockwork. You get married and say, until death do us part, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, richer or poorer. That's the vow we take, right? And bless God, you know what you ought to do? It ought to be until death do we part, for better, for worse, richer, poorer, sickness and in health. Meet your obligations. Live up to your responsibility. Keep your word. Do your job well. You say, I'm saved by God's grace. I'm a child of the King. I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador for Him. Then do it right. You sing them hymns on Sunday morning? It's a sin to mumble. It's a sin. You come in here and you don't sing out. You don't crow like you should, living in sin. Amen. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Amen. And if you know it's right to sing with all your heart and lift up your voice for Jesus Christ and you don't do it, it's sin. Amen. Come in and say, well, we've sung Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, until I'm sick of hearing the words. Well, if that's the song today, suck it up and sing it with all your heart. That song, you know, How Great Thou Art. I'm sick of that song. I'm sick of that thing. I am. Every time you go to a gospel singing, a revival or something, you know what they always want to sing? How Great Thou Art. And they always want to sing it in a key nobody can reach. You ever notice that, Brother Steve? They're doing that to show off. I'm sick of that song. It's a great song. But every time, you say, what do you do when you sing it? I belt it out, buddy. Now, y'all wish I hadn't. But I'm going to belt it out. Now, there's only one song I don't sing to. You know, they sing that song, In the Beauty of the Lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in His bosom that transforms you and me. His truth is marching on. I wouldn't sing that to a dog. That's the biggest pack of lies anybody ever wrote down on a piece of paper. Christ wasn't born among the lilies. And He didn't have a glory in His bosom that transfigures you. His blood changes you. And His truth is not marching on. The Bible said truth is fallen in the streets. You know who wrote that song? A group of people called Fifth Kingdom Monarchists. They thought the Civil War was going to bring in a new kingdom. And they said, He's tramping out the grapes of wrath and all that, you know, where the vintage is stored and all that stuff. Really? This is the new kingdom? This, you're in the millennium? What a dismal failure. So when they sing that song, I just sit there. I don't stand up for it, and I don't sing it. People look at you. I don't care. I go, They think I'm being rude, and I think they're being stupid. But if you're going to sing, sing with all your might. Do your job well. You're going to be a church member? You ought to be a good church member.
Amen.
You're going to be an employee? Be a good employee. You're going to be a church member? Be a good church member. The chicken did his job well. And whatever your job is, whatever your duties are, you ought to do them well. Amen. Brother Tommy, you dismiss us this evening.